Ruth chapter 4, we'll continue our series here that we've been working through over the last few months in Ruth. As we have the scripture open before us, let's remember where the story began in the days when the judges ruled. Dark days. Naomi finds herself bereaved in a foreign land, bereaved of her husband and of her sons. She has these two daughter-in-laws that, in our understanding of the text, that were barren women. This is a hopeless situation, a dark day. But Naomi aims to go back to the land, to go back to the land of promise. And Ruth devotes herself fully, wholeheartedly, binds herself to her mother-in-law, Naomi, to go back with her. And going back into the land, they come back to the land in the time of harvest. And Ruth just happens to meet the Redeemer, Boaz, a virtuous man, a noble man, a good man. And he recognizes in Ruth her chesed love for Naomi. And in this encounter, they are drawn together. And even as we were together last time in Ruth chapter 3, we began to see Ruth's approach to Boaz to say, "Take me as your wife." And Boaz lets her know that he's willing and ready to do so. But there's some complications that have to get worked out. And so we ended our time together last time waiting for the resolve. And I know it's been a couple weeks now, and so we've all been waiting for the resolve together. But tonight we're going to see the fruit of covenant faithfulness all throughout our text tonight. I want us to see the fruit of covenant faithfulness and how it leads to redemption, reconciliation, and restoration. Let's look to the text together. Ruth chapter 4, starting in verse 1. This is God's most holy word given to us, his people. "Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer, of whom Boaz had spoken, came by. So Boaz said, 'Turn aside, friend. Sit down here.' And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, 'Sit down here.' So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, 'Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me, that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you.' And he said, 'I will redeem it.' Then Boaz said, 'The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance.' Then the Redeemer said, 'I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it.' Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off of his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, 'Buy it for yourself,' he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, 'You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech, and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon, also Ruth the Moabite and the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead and his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the people who were at the gate.' And the elders said, 'We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman.' So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her. And the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. This concludes God's reading, the reading of God's word. Let's give him praise and thanks for his word to us this evening. Our great and glorious God, you who work wonders in the world, who orchestrates the days and times and seasons and even in the moments of each and every day of our lives, Lord, you are glorious in the way that you have shown your faithfulness to your people. Throughout the ages, you have shown yourself to be the God who orchestrates things to bring about your glory, your will, and your work in the world. Lord, we praise you and thank you that in your kindness, you are working your will through your people, bringing about fruit of righteousness, bringing about a transformed life in your people that redeems relationships and restores people back to a right relationship, not only with you, but with one another. And the Lord, through our reconciliation to you, God, you are bringing about the new creation that you have inaugurated in your Son, Jesus Christ, our great Redeemer, the one who's reconciled us to you, and the one who's restored us to right relationship with you. Lord, as we meditate on your word tonight, would you penetrate our hearts with the truth of the gospel, that we might see good and glorious things, beautiful things from your word, and rejoice as your people in your great salvation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So from famine to fruitfulness, from despair to delight, out of death, newness of life. In the time that the judges ruled, there is one who is born who will become king. Do you see the beauty of this book? Do you see the glorious work that God is doing in ordinary people living their ordinary lives with their hearts and their eyes gazed upon God? They live in such a way that God works through them to show his faithfulness to you. This story in Bethlehem, where we encounter a widow and her daughter-in-law and a redeemer, God is speaking about the gospel to us, showing his power to redeem in the most, what seems the most mundane circumstances. A man, a girl, they find one another. It's the story we all know. But this story is so much more than just a romantic tale. It's a redemptive tale. It is a redemptive story through which the Lord shows his faithfulness, his steadfast love and covenant faithfulness to you, his people, by showing you a people who sought to keep covenant faithfulness with one another in a community. Remember how we ended in chapter 3. Look at it with me. Naomi speaks to her daughter-in-law, Ruth. Ruth comes back and we see in verse 18 of chapter 3, Naomi says to Ruth, Boaz is going to work this out, but she says, she replied to Ruth, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." And the next verse picks up with Boaz in action. He does not waste any time. This man, this good man, this noble man gets to work immediately. It says right on the tail of that, "Settle the matter today." Now Boaz, he gets up and goes straight to the city gate. See the diligence and see the intention of Boaz here to settle the matter today. He is a man who just, a good man, a noble man, who is proactive in settling the situation immediately. He goes straight to the gate, and it says he sat down there. And he's also paying close attention to what's going on. And I love how the narrator says to us, and behold, again, like, just so happened, behold, watch this, look at this, pay attention to this. Behold, the other Redeemer, he comes. Behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz, again, proactive, acts immediately. So Boaz said, turn aside here, friend. Sit down here. Now that's interesting that he doesn't name the Redeemer. We don't get the Redeemer's name. The translation here says friend, but literally it's turn aside here, so-and-so. Like, how tight are these guys? So-and-say, hey, you. You know those situations you walk into a room where you don't know the other guy's name kind of action, right? I was talking with my family tonight and talking about this even, and just when you forget someone's name, hey, buddy, you there, so-and-so. The name's left out. Turn aside, so-and-so, and sit down here, Mr. So-and-so. He calls him to come into a relationship with him to discuss an important thing with him at the city gate. Boaz is setting up a court scene. And then Boaz, he turned aside and he sat down and he said, and he took, Boaz took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. Court is now in session. We have a negotiation to work out here. We have something to work out here that's of utter importance. We need witnesses. We need the 10 elders. We establish the witnesses. The two men are sitting there at the gate. This is a very solemn gathering. But watch how Boaz continues to show covenant faithfulness by seeking the redemption of Naomi's land, but also of Ruth herself. Watch the Redeemer proactively work to bring about the ends and intentions of his desire and of his heart. So they all sit down, and then Boaz turns to Mr. So-and-so, the other Redeemer, and he says, you know, Naomi, she's come back, and she's either selling the land or she has sold the land. Either way, the land needs to be redeemed. She's back from Moab, and so this is the situation. Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. And verse 4 says, so I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one beside you to redeem it, and I come after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Now, how Boaz sets this up is very interesting, isn't it? He doesn't give all the details of the deal right there out in the beginning. He's withholding some information. He's keeping something back in order to begin the conversation. Some commentators use the word here, trickery. Some use the word scheming, and they're not wrong. I prefer to use the word prudence here because he is calculating his steps in a wise way in order to get to the outcome that he desires. He's being very prudent. But there is a sense in which he is really controlling the conversation in such a way to get to the outcome that he desires. So he withholds this information, and the Redeemer says, oh, of course, well, I'll redeem it. What a deal. There's land, there's opportunity for growth, there's economic opportunity here. Well, I'll redeem it. But then we come to verse 5, and we need to pay close attention here to this verse. It says, then Boaz said, the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite. the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. Now, in order to set this up, I have to do a little bit of back work here. Remember when Naomi was still in Moab. She turns to her two daughter-in-laws at that point in time, and she says to them both, what? Go back to your households. And they say, no, we'll not leave you alone. Both Orpah and Ruth say, no, we'll go with you wherever you go. And she says, no, my daughters, go back that you might find husbands in your father's households. Go back to the land. Go back to your parents' house so that you might find husbands. I have nothing for you. There's nothing in your future to secure any kind of future for you where I'm going. So go back. Remember that. And Ruth says, oh, no. I'm wherever you go, I will go. But Orpah, she takes the out. Then when Ruth comes to Boaz at night, she comes to him and she tells him who she is. And in verse 9 of chapter 3, she said, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. And Boaz said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. The first kindness is you came back with your mother-in-law. You didn't have to. You had an out. There was no obligation for you to continue on. But you showed chesed. You showed kindness. You showed faithfulness to her. And you did what you did not have to do. You came back to the land with her. But this last kindness is greater than the first, is what he says. Now, what does that mean? He's saying, Ruth, you had your pick of the litter. You could have gone either any direction you wanted to go find another husband, whether a rich man or a poor man or an old man or a young man, an established man or a man who's just getting started in his career. You could have married any man, and everybody at the city gates knows that you are extremely marriable. You are a noble woman. That's the word on the street about you, Ruth, is that you are a noble woman. You are a virtuous woman. And so she's not obliged to go to him. And Boaz says, this last kindness is greater than the first because you're still continuing to show chesed. You've come to me a redeemer. And you didn't have to do that. You came back with your mother-in-law. Didn't have to do that. You came to me. You didn't have to do that. And here we are now. And so here's the interesting situation in verse 5. When Boaz says to the Redeemer, he says, then Boaz said, chapter 4, verse 5, then Boaz said, the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, the text can be rendered this way. The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, I also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. Remember what Boaz said to Ruth when she came to him and said, spread your wings over me. He said, what you've asked, I will do. I'll do it. Now there's a redeemer ahead of me, but I will take you as my wife. The challenge here is, in the Hebrew, we have something called kativ, which is what is written in the Hebrew. And then later on, when the Masoretes gathered together to put together the Hebrew manuscripts that we have, they began to add vowel points, which is kere, which means what is read. So the Hebrew doesn't naturally have the vowel points, but the Masoretes went through and gave us the vowel points so we could hear what is read. And in verse 5, it could be rendered in the Ketiv, I also acquire Ruth. But in the Kere, it says, it could go either way, you or I will. And the scholarship is divided on this. So you have to make a choice. You have to make a decision. I land with, the day you acquire the land, acquire the field from the hand of Naomi, I acquire Ruth. because of the past that she had the opportunity to leave. She had the opportunity not to go to Boaz. But she continues to show chesed. She continues to show covenant faithfulness. And the Redeemer knows it, and he acknowledges it, and he says, I will redeem her. The land could go with him, but she's going to go with me. And either way, whether the land goes to him first and she comes with me, or the land just comes to me directly, either way, this is Boaz, his scheming, trickery, prudence at play. He's going to get the land if she has a son. Either way. So the man turns and says, verse 6, the Redeemer said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. He realizes, if you're marrying Ruth and she has a son, that son's going to get my land anyway. Why would I just lease land from you, Boaz? Like, this is a horrible deal. This is a horrible arrangement. No, and he has no obligation to marry Ruth. There's no law that obliges the kinsman to marry Ruth. So he passes on it, and he's like, no, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. I'm basically investing in your future, Boaz. No, I cannot redeem it. Take my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. See the Redeemer at work. See Boaz at work. Stating the case, presenting the opportunity, and showing forth to this man his faithfulness also to Ruth and also to Naomi. Either way, he's going to get the land. And he's also going to get Ruth. He is a wise redeemer. He is a redeemer who will not give up, but will fulfill his word. He says to Ruth, I will do what you have asked. And the Redeemer says, I can't. So in order to show, to seal the arrangement, we see these next verses, and we have this commentary, this statement. It says, verse 7, now this was the custom in the former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm a transaction. The one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was the manner of attesting in Israel. Deal done. The other Redeemer, Mr. So-and-so, takes off his sandal and hands it to Boaz and says, I'm out. The deal's done. You have the land, and you also have Ruth. And he does it in the presence of the 10 elders. They all see it. They all attest to it. They all witness it. And so the Redeemer says, buy it for yourself. He drew off his sandals, and now the deal is done. Now, but I also want you to see now how the Redeemer is not only a Redeemer, but the fruit of covenant faithfulness is also reconciliation in the verses that follow. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead and his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day. He looks at all of them and he says, you are bearing witness to the fact that I have redeemed the land. I have also reconciled Ruth, the Moabite, the foreigner, the one who has shown covenant faithfulness. As a Moabite, I'm reconciling her to her myself. I'm bringing her near. I'm drawing her to myself, that she's no longer a Moabite. No, she's becoming one of us. I have brought her out of that and brought her to myself. I brought her into my household. I'm going to marry her. I'm reconciling her. She's not just a Jew in her actions now. She will become part of the covenant community because she is now bound to me, drawn to me, reconciled to me. And notice the outcome of his pronouncement of reconciliation. Verse 11, then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, they all are amazed at what they see going on through this man's covenant faithfulness. They say, "We are witnesses. And may the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up of the house of Israel. May the Lord continue to build a nation through this union. May the Lord continue to show his faithfulness and his kindness as he did the patriarchs in Genesis. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless your marriage. May the Lord bless your wife." And you think about all the children that Rachel and Leah bore. This is a pretty big blessing. "May your house be filled, built up, strengthened, established in Israel. And may you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem." And they continue on as if their blessing wasn't enough. They say, "May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." That other foreigner, Tamar, who was left without children and was left without a redeemer for so long until she also, was she tricking Judah? Was she scheming with Judah? Or was she being prudent in calculating her steps in such a way to get the right outcome that she desired? You know that story, Genesis 38. This trickery and this scheming and this prudence is nothing new to the people of God. It's shrewdness. It's a way of operating in the world that you look for ways to bring about blessing when other people aren't paying attention to the blessing that's at hand. And they say, "May your household be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman. May your household be filled, may your household be established, and may the Lord continue to do through this foreign woman what he did through Tamar as well." They pronounce a blessing, a communal blessing, on their marriage. This reconciliation is not only recognized by Boaz, it's not only recognized by Ruth, even the neighbors, all who are at the gate, and even the elders see the glory and the beauty of the covenant faithfulness on display here in this reconciliation. But the Redeemer and covenant faithfulness is not only that of redemption and of reconciliation. We also see that Boaz and Ruth, in their covenant love and covenant faithfulness to one another, is extended to Naomi as well. Because the land is redeemed. Ruth is reconciled. Naomi, remember, barren, bereaved, in a land of famine, she comes back and she's restored. Look with me at verse 13. "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women," and they speak to Naomi here, "the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you," mark this, "a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons has given birth to him." The birth of this child through the reconciliation of Ruth to Boaz bears fruit in such a way that it restores Naomi's life even. Boaz redeeming the land, reconciling Ruth, restores to Naomi what she's lost. She gets to live in the land in relationship to two people who love her greatly. She gets to live in the land with two people who love her greatly, but also bear a son that they say, "Here is your son. Here is the one who is going to restore life to you." And they lay the child on her lap. Do you see the fullness of restoration here? brought out of a land of famine to a land of abundance, with Boaz feeding them both Ruth and Naomi, establishing them, caring for them, redeeming the land for them. She has a home. She's no longer given up to any kind of chance or what people might call fortune. No, she's reestablished. She's restored. But she also has another child given to her through a daughter-in-law who the women say is more to you than seven sons. Seven sons. She's more to you than a whole household full of young boys with a bunch of potential future. No, Ruth, who loves you, has restored you through God's kindness. Blessed be the Lord. Why do we say blessed be the Lord? Because it's the Lord who gave Ruth conception. It's the Lord who has brought forth this child. It's the Lord who's restored, but it's the Lord working through his covenant people, showing covenant faithfulness to one another. The Lord redeems, the Lord restores, the Lord reconciles as we seek to love and serve and care for one another in view of what God has called us to do, is to live as those who love him and love one another. And in our love for one another, he is drawing us back into covenant faithfulness with one another and with himself. The Lord restores, redeems Naomi through the covenant faithfulness of Boaz and Ruth. The Lord is at work even in you. The Lord is at work even in you. How do I know this is true? Because you too have a redeemer. You too have one who has reconciled you to God. You have one who has restored you to your God and your Maker. Our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, has reconciled us, has redeemed us, has restored us, so that we might continue to be the people of God in the world as his covenantly faithful people who bear fruit in the world. God in Christ has redeemed us. God in Christ has reconciled us. God in Christ has restored us. And the end of this restoration and this redemption and this reconciliation is that we might be fruitful people in the world, bearing the fruit of righteousness. Romans speaks of this, doesn't it? That you've been brought to Christ so that you might no longer bear the fruit of sin and death, but that you might bear the fruit of righteousness. You've been restored, you've been reconciled, you've been redeemed in Christ so that you might bring about renewal. There's another R word for you. Restoration. Redemption in the world. The women bless Ruth. The women bless Naomi. And she takes this child and she becomes the child's nurse. Full restoration. Just like she held her young little boys on her lap, she is now holding Obed, whose name means worker. One who will work the land and bring about provision. One who will establish and work the land so that he might bring about a house, that he might have a family after he's taken a wife, and he might carry on this act of covenant faithfulness. Obed, he does become the man who works the land and establishes a house so that he can take a wife, so that he can have children. And what is the fruit of his work? Well, you have it right there in verse 17. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. Again, that means worker. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And then we come to verse 18. It says, "Now these are the generations of Perez." This is a flashing sign. This is a flare saying, pay attention. Go back to Genesis. There's something new happening right here. There's something new at work. Every time you see, "Now these are the generations" in the book of Genesis, God is up to something new in the world. He's reestablishing in his faithfulness. He's showing that he's at work. He's about to do something great. So he says, now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron, and Hezron fathered Ram, and Ram fathered Amminadab, and Amminadab fathered Nahshon, and Nahshon fathered Salmon, and Salmon fathered Boaz, and Boaz fathered Obed, Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered David. Their life together established a family. Boaz and Ruth in their life together redeems and establishes a home. It redeems and establishes a clan, the clan of Elimelech. It redeems and establishes a community. Their life together redeems and establishes a nation, because out of their covenant faithfulness to one another, we're going to get King David. But not only does their union bless a nation, their union blesses all the nations. Because through David comes the one who is the Christ, who will reconcile, who will restore, and who will redeem. But we can go one more step because of what the New Testament tells us about the work of Christ. He's reconciling all things, and all things are being put underneath his feet. And the last time I looked at all things, it meant all things. This is a cosmological blessing. Boaz and Ruth. Their covenant faithfulness is a blessing to the cosmos. In Christ, God has redeemed and reconciled and restored all things. But it began in a small village with a widow and her daughter-in-law and a noble man who showed one another covenant faithfulness, covenant love. And through this faithfulness, through this chesed, the Lord not only redeemed the land to Naomi, not only reconciled Ruth, not only restored Naomi. Do you see what God is doing? He has redeemed you. He has reconciled you. He has restored you. And the fruit that came from David, the Lord Jesus Christ, our King, our Redeemer, who shows covenant faithfulness to you by bringing you to himself so that you also might live a life of blessing in the world. Remember, you've been brought to Christ. You are in union with him so that you can bear the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of blessing, the fruit of redemption, reconciliation, and restoration. There's one last thing I want to note here, and it's this. God is showing that his blessing and his power to redeem, reconcile, and restore is not just for Israel. It's for all people. It's for the nations. It's Romans 11, the Gentiles getting included and Israel getting blessed. It's also Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, where Peter preached to those who were there for the festival on Pentecost, and those who were proselytes, converts from all the different nations, coming and hearing the gospel preached. They too were hearing the gospel of reconciliation. And do you know when Ruth was read, this little scroll, this megaloth? It was read for the people of God through the ages on the day of Pentecost. A foreigner reconciled, blessing Israel. Do you know what today is? On the church calendar, today is Pentecost. And the Lord is continuing to do the work of redemption, reconciliation, and restoration, even today. Through his people, showing covenant faithfulness to one another and seeking to bless the nations in their life together. We have future blessings to grab hold of, but we have present work to do. So as God's people who have been reconciled to him, love one another, care for one another, just as Christ has loved and cared for you. And in and through your life together, through your union with Christ, even the cosmos could be blessed. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that we would hear it, we would receive it, and that we'd understand that in Christ you are our Redeemer, our Reconciler, and the Restorer of all things. That in him and faith in him, we have been brought into union with him to bear fruit in the world, fruit of righteousness, to bring about a blessing, even to the nations. Lord, would you use us to be a people who love one another in such a way that people see and know that we must have a glorious, gracious God who has reconciled us to himself in such a way that we might be a blessing, not only to you, but a blessing to one another. Lord, thank you for the blessing that you've given us to draw near tonight as your people, to hear this story, this narrative of your covenant faithfulness working through your people to redeem the world through the greater David, your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. We bless you and we thank you, and we pray in his name. Amen.